Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
It's been a great day. God has made this day. Let's enjoy it, and let's speak. Let the Lord speak to our heart this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we've had a tough week, some of us, and some of us laid a loved one to rest this week. We've had, some of us have medical issues. Some of us have spiritual issues. Some of us have financial issues, Lord. You know who has needs. I ask you to touch each and every person here this morning, dear Lord, as we need you. And Lord, yesterday was a day that was so humbling to so many here when we went out and served people that was in need. And those people needed us. They needed what they received yesterday, but more importantly, they needed you, Lord. I pray for everybody that was here yesterday that received items. I pray for the workers. I pray for everybody that was involved yesterday, dear Lord. People served yesterday, and Lord, that's what it's about, is serving you. And Lord, we have needs in this church for more help, for people to serve. And I ask for those people to step up and serve, Lord. Speak to their hearts today. And Lord, I want to lift up the youth group. They're going to Hearts on Fire this week. And I want to ask you to please protect them, put a hedge of protection around each and every one of them. This is our youth that we love so dearly, Lord. And ask them to go there, learn as much about Jesus as they can, Lord. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Greg. We owe a huge debt of gratitude to Greg and Cindy Lee. They helped pull all that off yesterday. So thank you all. He's right. There's something you ought to be doing for Jesus in and through the local church. All of us need to be serving. And I'm doing my part this morning by preaching the word. So we've been going through, for you guests and visitors, we've been moving through a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We're calling it God's Perfect Ten. And Jesus shrunk the ten down into two in the New Testament. He said, he said that you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. All right. So the first four fall under that category. And then he said the second commandment is like unto the first, that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And so the last six commandments have to do with that particular statement that Jesus made in the New Testament. So this morning we find ourselves, I'm not going to ask you to stand, it's so short, you'll be up and down like that. And so it's in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, thou shall not,
steal.
Let's say it again, thou shall not
steal.
So Father, add your blessing today to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your word. Your word is authoritative for us. Your opinion is what really matters, not mine, not anyone else, your opinion. What you have said in your word is what we've got to look to and obey. And so I ask God that you would bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Sunday night, about 31 years ago, Diane and I were pulling into our driveway here in Clarksville, and we'd been to church that night, and so we're pulling in. And I noticed the front door was kind of open, you know, and that's kind of unusual because we would lock our house 31 years ago here in Clarksville. So I told Diana and the girls to stay in the car, and I went up the sidewalk, and sure enough, The door was wide open. We went in, and I mean, closet doors were open. Pantry doors were open. There was stuff strewn all over the house. It was a mess. But it wasn't until I got to the back bedroom, to our bedroom, and I noticed that three of my grandfather's golden pocket watches were gone. A nice ring that my dad had made for me with my birthstone in it, it was very special to me, was gone. Some of Diana's things were gone. And we had been robbed. And someone had broken into our house and stolen some things that were very near and dear to our hearts. And I want to tell you, I was so mad. I was so angry. I felt so violated. Because if you know me well enough, I'll give you my shirt off my back if you need it. And to think that somebody would break into our house and steal something, it really tore me all to pieces. We were victims of someone that had broken the eighth commandment. Now, God says we shall not steal, and stealing is simply this. It's taking something that does not belong to you. Look at your neighbor and say amen. But stealing goes even a little bit deeper than what you might think. I looked at the dictionary and looked up the word steal, and here's what I found. Listen to these terms that were used: burglary, copy, defraud, embezzle, extort or extortion, misappropriation, pilfer, plagiarize, pocket, rip off, snatch, swindle, and swipe. Those are all terms that are used for stealing today. And did you know that every year, every single year in America, 13 million crimes involve the stealing of someone's property? And 1 Corinthians 6:10 reveals to us that those who break the eighth commandment on a regular basis will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I want to say three things this morning about stealing. First of all, stealing is taking property that does not belong. That's right. Stealing is taking property. Now, look at Deuteronomy 27 and verse 17. This morning. Now, okay, if you have a Bible, hopefully you've got a Bible. There's something about having a Bible, y'all. I'm not putting down cell phones, but there's something about having a Bible and getting to it and going to it that really does. God does something special with that. It's been around for parts of it for 4,000 years. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 17. Here it is. Listen to this. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. And all the people shall say, amen. Amen. Now, ownership is a divine right. It's been given to us from God Almighty. It's okay to own property. It's okay to have stuff, okay? As a matter of fact, it's a divine right. 1 Timothy 6:7 says that we don't bring anything into this world, and when we leave, we don't take anything with us. But while we're here, guess what? God has given us some things to take care of. We are stewards of God's property. We're kind of like tenants on a farm. We take care of the things that God has given us. And you know, if you remember when the Israelites had moved into the promised land and Joshua was passing out the parcels of land to the 12 tribes, he did so with every tribe by describing a landmark. And so people knew that where their property boundaries were and the stuff that they were receiving was you could mark it off by that landmark. And we still have some landmarks today. We have the right to life, liberty, and... Yeah, okay, now y'all are with me. We also have the right to space, the necessities that we need to enjoy life, and we have the right to, you could call this domestic joy. We have the right to a lot of things. These are our landmarks. And God has ordained that we would have the divine right for property. And we're to take care of the property that He has entrusted to us. So whatever stuff you have, whatever property you've got, was given to you by God. Your wealth, your possessions, all of that stuff was given to you by God. And you're a steward of all that God's given you. And you've got a divine right to that stuff. And so when somebody lays their hands on your stuff without your permission and takes it, that's stealing. Everybody with me so far? So that's the first thing. Stealing is taking property that's not yours. Secondly, stealing is committing dishonesty. Now, how do I say this sweetly? Nicely. When we steal something, it's dishonest. And if we're going to be true to the Word this morning, I think most of us have to admit that we've got, all of us have this inherent characteristic deep down inside of us to take what's not ours. I've seen this in our nursery. One baby, am I right, Sarah? Will want to steal the other baby's pacifier. And I mean, it's game on when that happens, right? And toddlers back here, what do? They'll try to steal another toddler's blanket. Oh my goodness, that's unpardonable sin number one. And so we have deep within us, all of us have this characteristic. It's inherent in our spirit to take something that's not ours. I used to take some tapes to one of our nursing home residents of the services and the sermons, because he loved to hear the sermons. This is, you know, a few years ago. And it got to where, you know, I would come see him, and I said, where's my tapes? And he got to where he had to hide the tapes, because the nursing home residents would walk right into his room if he wasn't in there, and they would steal the tapes. You know, I could have given one to everybody in a nursing home. But anyways, he had to hide those things. And this deal affects every race. It affects the rich, the poor, red and yellow, black and white. All God's thieves are precious in His sight. Amen? And so I want to talk quickly about three deeds of dishonesty when it comes to stealing. I want to talk about simple stealing. I want to talk about sophisticated stealing and spiritual stealing. So if y'all are with me, turn to Genesis 31 and verse 19. Woo, Lottie Moon, there's $100 for you. All right. Genesis 31 and verse 19. Some of you don't even know who Lottie Moon is. You're fixing to find out. She's going to be here next month. Genesis 31, 19. All right, let's get back on track. Genesis 31, 19. Now, Laban, that's, you remember him? That's Jacob's uncle Laban. And I want to tell you what, Jacob was a shyster, a trickster, a cheater, but he met his match in his uncle Laban. Now, and it was passed down. Now, look at verse 19. Now, Laban had gone to shear his sheep. Bless God. And Rachel, that's his daughter, that's Jacob's wife, had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And so stealing goes all the way back to Genesis and all throughout the Bible, taking property that's not yours. And I want to give you just quickly some several personal examples of what I would call stealing or simple stealing. I've already mentioned burglary to you when... By the way, they never caught whoever it was that stole all that stuff at our house. That's burglary. One morning, Susan and I used to share a... You remember that little blue bug? That super beetle she and I used to share? We would drive it to school back and do errands and all that stuff in it. But one day we came out, and guess what? The blue bug wasn't... The Volkswagen wasn't sitting in the driveway. You know, somebody had the audacity to steal my dad's blue beetle right out of their driveway. Can you believe that? And so I don't think they ever found out who took it. I mean, they took it right out of the driveway. The keys weren't in it. It was locked up. I don't know how they did that, but I was 17. Susan was 16, and I remember that. We call that grand. That's it. Y'all are right on it. And then there was another thing that happened when I was running this hotel out at Exit 4. I was the GM out there, and one morning, the night before, do y'all remember the Baltimore Orioles used to have a little 5'8" fiery coach by the name of Earl Weaver? He would kick dust and dirt on. He wanted to whip every umpire he ever saw. Well, he and his wife were spending the night at our hotel, and they were in the dining room for breakfast. And they went back to their room, and he wound up back at the front desk, and he was hot. And I said, "What's the matter, Mr. Weaver? Are you mad because you didn't give me your autograph?" Or, you know, and he said, "No, somebody broke into our room and stole cash, credit cards, and traveler's checks." This is after your granddaddy and grandmama left the premises. I'm glad the Covingtons weren't around when he got ripped off. But that's theft, okay? That's theft. And by the way, we made it all good because he finally owned up that he didn't shut the door on his way down to the restaurant. But anyways, someone still had no right to go into his hotel room and take all of their things. And I've even been in a church, pastored a church several years ago, and I was told that somebody, you know, they used to put their offerings in the safe until Sunday night, and then they'd go to the banquet. Somebody had was bold enough to pick up, I don't know how they did it, they picked up the safe and carried it off. Mercy. That's pretty brave. You'd have to be pretty stout to do that as well. There are over 5 million cases every year of shoplifting that's prosecuted in this country. And there's an estimated 30 million that are not caught. That's what we would call larceny. Bank holdups are committed every day. That's robbery. Back when I was living out on Fort Campbell Boulevard, actually it was New Providence Boulevard, in a mobile home in a trailer with my buddy Greg Proctor. It was his trailer, and we were living there together. And I was working down here at Beef and Sea Restaurant right here waiting tables. All right? This has been years ago. But Greg's dad had an office right out in our front yard, right there on the main drag of New Providence Boulevard. His daddy owned I forget the name of the business that he had, but anyways, just a few hundred feet down the street, there was a bank. And one day, someone had robbed this bank. Well, Greg had a Doberman Pinscher. His name was Diablo. And there was a stake that we'd driven down in our front yard, and he had this, goodness, 100-foot chain that he was tied to. Well, this really slick bank robber decided he was trying to get away with the money that he'd robbed at the bank, and he slipped around behind Mr. Proctor's building, and guess who he met? Diablo. And Diablo caught the bank robber. True story. And by the way, that's robbery. And how many of you would say that the gas prices we're paying is highway robbery? Hallelujah. I knew I'd get a rise out of y'all with that. So those are things that we would call simple stealing. And then there's what we would call sophisticated stealing. Now look at Leviticus, chapter 25, Leviticus. Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus. Excuse me, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. What chapter are we in? 25. Thank you. Exodus, Leviticus 25 and verses 35 through. This is amazing. Exodus. Leviticus. I'm stuck in Exodus, aren't I? All right, verse 35. Leviticus 25, 35. If one of your brethren becomes poor, and by the way, y'all, that could happen in everybody in this room tomorrow. You never know what's going to happen. One of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him. That's what we were doing yesterday. Like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear your God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for usury, nor lend him your food at a profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. Taking advantage of poor folks who are living in poverty is stealing. Charging outrageous interest rates is what he's talking about here. And that's stealing. And you know, credit card companies today charge outrageous interest rates. They prey on college students. I remember when we were in college, I was getting all kinds of applications for credit cards and didn't have any income. I remember when, here's another situation. We had a little front desk clerk at the hotel that I was at exit 4. And I came in one morning and she's in tears. And she's about 25, 24 years old, something like that. And I said, "What's the matter, hon?" And she's bawling. She's squalling. Right in front of her, she's got her credit card statement. And she lifted up that thing and her balance was $33,000. And that interest was being compounded every day. 22%, I believe it was. And I thought, she has no hope of ever paying that off. Amos chapter 3 and verse 10. Hosea 12 and verse 7. And Proverbs 11:1. Proverbs 11:1. Post that one for me real quickly, if you would, dear sister. Proverbs 11:1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. The book of Proverbs, all the minor prophets rail time after time after time and warning people against taking advantage of poor people. I want to tell you, the poor and the poverty stricken are on God's heart. They are. And when we're blessing them instead of taking advantage of them, I believe you receive the blessing of God. Now, embezzlement is a form of sophisticated stealing. A congressman who misuses the taxpayer's money is called misappropriation of funds. They ought to just call it stealing because that's what it is. False advertising is a form of stealing. Amos chapter 8 and verse 5 talks about fraud being a form of stealing. Proverbs 21:6 warns against such things as you could apply them to crooked tax returns. Folks, the Bible says simply give Caesar what is Caesar's. Now, I know the government is going to waste what we give them in a lot of instances. But we're to render under him what he is due. And so crooked tax returns is stealing. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Bribery in Proverbs 29 and verse 4 says that that's wrong. And y'all, I mean, I'm amazed at how huge gambling is now. But a lot of forms of gambling today would be considered stealing in the Bible. It's quiet again. Jeremiah 23:30. I'll tell you what, let's go to Romans 2 and verse 21. Romans 2 and verse 21. Now we're going to get to the good stuff here in just a minute, but I'm just trying to set a case. Romans 2 and verse 21. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? This verse and Jeremiah 23 and verse 30, I think, are talking about preachers stealing. I mean, preachers steal. I know some pastors who have been fired for stealing their sermons on the internet. I mean, a preacher needs to get a message from God and then bring it to the people of God. And when you buy, now there's nothing new under the sun. Some preacher, whatever pastor and preacher you're under, someone's already preached the message that you just heard. Nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes says. But when I use somebody else's material, when I use one of their ideas, what should I do? I ought to give them credit for it. You hear Billy in Sunday school, so-and-so says, so-and-so writes, so-and-so does it. We need to give credit where credit's due. I think Dr. Jerry Vines was one of the greatest expositors of my generation. And I use a lot of his stuff. And he personally told me in a doctoral seminary class, he said, if my bullet fits your gun, go ahead and shoot. But the Bible says we're to give whoever it is that we're borrowing, whoever's ideas, sermons, all that stuff, we need to give them credit for. That's called plagiarism. And then cheating, let me talk to our students for just a minute. Cheating on tests is stealing. I told you all this a while back about in my Greek class, my Greek vocabulary class one summer. One of the pastors there was cheating on a vocabulary test. He had his list of stuff. That's stealing. That's wrong. And so we have got to get to the point where we understand what all stealing involves. And cheating among college and high school students today is rampant. And then James, I tell you what, let's all go to this one. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I think this is something that affects all of us. James chapter 5. And look at verse 3. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you got to steal a Bible, say amen. All right. That would be the only good thing that I know of that you could. All right. Verse 3, James 5. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and you will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up. When I was a little boy, I remember stealing a Baby Ruth candy bar at a gas station. We were on our way, our family was on our way to Oklahoma, and we hadn't gotten 5 miles down the road, Susan, you may remember this. Daddy had to turn that big blue station wagon around and go back to that gas station because that Baby Ruth was making me sick in my stomach. It wasn't mine. I'd taken it. So that's what he's talking about here. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages, listen to this, of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Now, what's he's talking to employers there. And by the way, employers ought to give a fair wage to their employees. If they don't, they're stealing. But that mindset is out there. I'm going to keep a good man down, and I'm going to pay them just as little as I can get by with. Well, if you're an employer and you've got good employees, take advantage of it and give them a good wage. We got 5 employers here. All right. Maybe you're an employee. Employers aren't the only one this passage speaks to, employees. And you ought to give your employer a full day's work for a fair day's wage. Let me say that again. You ought to give your employer a full day's work for a fair day's wage. Showing up late to work day after day after day. Taking breaks all throughout the day without permission of your boss. Leaving early for work. All those are examples of stealing time and that's not yours. When you're working on the clock, so to speak, you need to give them everything that you've got. By the way, they ought to be calling me down here at Second Mile Church. You got any more employees down there at Second Mile Church? I need some of them. We ought to be the best employees employers have. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, amen. Go to work. All right. Another example from the hotel. I worked for the Covingtons, her grandparents, for about 7 or 8 years. In the last 4 years I was there, I worked for a company out of Boston who bought their property. But I tried to make my way around to all the departments every day, and housekeeping was a big one. And we had all these great housekeepers, and they did a fantastic job. And there was one particular housekeeper that was wonderful. She would clock in 30 minutes early every day. And I finally asked her, I said, Valdell, why are you clocking in early? And she said, I just want to do a good job for you today, Brother Cal. She didn't call me Brother Cal. I think she called me something else. But anyways, I look back on that time. That was my ministry, really. But over time, I began noticing that we were missing a lot of paper goods and towels and all kinds of things. And this lady cleaned rooms on the first floor, same rooms, one wing, every morning. And somehow or other, we found out, we went into a room and we were changing around some of the furniture, and we picked up the mattress on this king bed, and there was all kinds of paper goods and towels and soaps and all kinds of stuff she'd been stealing. She'd get there 30 minutes before anybody else got there, and she'd go to the laundry room and the housekeeper, and she was stealing. That was one of the hardest things I had to do, was let her go. Probably should have prosecuted her. Stealing happens in all different forms. Let's look at spiritual stealing real quickly. I'm running out of time. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Spiritual stealing. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Now, if you're not mad at me, you soon will be. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Listen, folks, the minimum of stewardship, of giving, starts with the tithe. If you're a believer, if you name the name of Christ, and you've been born again, and you're a blood-bought, sanctified, baptized believer, you need to bring that tithe to the Lord. It's His. And this is not cow's word. This is what the Word of God says. And I love y'all. I want y'all to be blessed of God, not cursed. And so get this area right. Get this area right. Do whatever you got to do to where you can become a tither, because when you're not doing that, you rob God. It's His. That first 10%, and then offerings are over and above the tithe. And it always gets quiet when I start talking about this. But I didn't come. I've had people leave the church over this because Brother Cal talks about money too much. Well, guess who talked about money 7 times more than he did any other subject? Jesus. Because He knew we'd have trouble with it. And so if you're not tithing and giving an offering over and above that tithe every now and then, get to that point. Get to that point. Just do what the Word of God tells you, and you'll be blessed. Bob, in that same passage, He said He would open up the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing you won't be able to contain it all. How many of you would like that? All right. And I have found in my life you can't outgive God. And, you know, we get all upset, don't we, and outraged at getting taken advantage of down at the bank or the gas pumps or the department stores, and yet we don't think a thing about it when we participate in a Sunday morning holdup right up in here. And even ask God to bless the robbery. You can tell, I mean, I know what I'm talking about here. I've seen God bless. And I just want y'all to have the same blessing. Spiritual stealing. Gossip and slander. When you slander somebody's good name or their reputation, you've robbed that person of their good standing in the community. When you gossip about someone, you've stolen their character. These are all acts of spiritual stealing. So I need to close quickly. Stealing is also rejecting integrity. And I want to close with Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Listen to this. He tells us there's 3 ways that we gain property. 3 ways that we gain property. Y'all ready for this? Ephesians 4, 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something. And so God expects that His people would acquire property. Some get it through stealing, some get it through working, and some get it through giving. And how many of you figured out you cannot outgive God? He will bless you in that area. Let me say three things about honesty, industry, and generosity quickly. It's been said many times over and over, it's not how much you make, it's how you make what you make. If you're making your money and acquiring property dishonestly, you're stealing. One of the reasons I think a lot of young couples, by the way, young couples today, I do a lot of premarital counseling before they get married, and young couples today, a lot of them think they're supposed to have everything mom and daddy took them 40 years to have. And they think they're supposed to have it right then. And so they start immediately living above their means. And it doesn't take long for it to catch up with you if you're spending more than you got coming in. Right? And and that when you get under financial pressure like that, sometimes you get tempted to take what's not yours. And I want to tell you, we all need to learn how to live by budget. Set you a budget. And live under it. And I'm going to be teaching a class on financial freedom at the first of the year. And anybody who wants to come can come. How many of you would like to get free, set free financially? Well, it can happen. Well, we've got a young couple. Landon and Samantha, I don't want to embarrass the Millikens, but they're a young couple and they're right over here. They got two precious kids, one a brand new baby. And let me tell you, they are completely out of debt. You know how you do that? You do that by living within a budget. A budget doesn't tell you how much you got necessarily coming in, but it tells you where it's all going, right? So, honesty, industry. Ephesians 4:28 tells us we're to work for our property, and there's nothing wrong with hard work. Jesus had calluses, I believe, because he was a hard worker. He was a carpenter. And 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12 reveals that we should work for a living. And if you're able to work, you should work. If you're able to work, you should work. Y'all don't have any problems knowing where I stand on things, I'm going to tell you. And I like dealing with people like that. But if you want, and if you can't work, and you're not able to work, and you're disabled, and that kind of stuff, I understand that. But if you want to work, you can find a job. There's a bunch of them out there. They can't even get people hired today. Because a lot of folks don't want to work. I got a check. I'm so tired of hearing that. I'm going to get me a check. Well, you need three or four checks. And you need to work to get those checks. Amen? And I found that if you'll work hard, like Jesus did, if you'll work hard, and commit the first tenth of your income to the Lord and give it to the Lord through the Lord's church, and you'll live right. My Bible tells me God will supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be placed into your bosom. Now here's the last one, generosity. God doesn't give us extra so we can hoard it. God gives us extra so we can be a blessing to other people. Whew. Generosity is the final key to breaking the eighth commandment. You cannot outgive God. What some of us may need to do today is make restitution. And what I mean by making restitution is make things right with people. In other words, if you've stolen from a neighbor or an employer or a friend or a family member or a classmate, go make that thing right with them. You'll be surprised at what happens. And then repentance means you get right with God about whatever it is. I could say so much more today, but as usual in these Ten Commandment sermons, I've run out of time. But some of you are here today, and you may have broken this commandment yourself. I just told you I did when I was a 10-year-old kid. God didn't let me get away with it either. And maybe you're here, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but you've allowed the devil to steal your joy. My Bible tells me that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus is joy. And you've allowed Him to steal that joy. He wants you to have the joy of your salvation. This stuff happens all the time. I was talking to a young man. Well, he's not young, he's in his 50s. Yeah, that's young for me too, brother. But he was going, telling me all this stuff, you know, that's going on in his life, and you know, and he's made a commitment to for revival in his spirit and for God to revive him, and you know, we used to call that rededication. I like revival because that's something He does in me, and so he's talking about all this stuff, and I said, brother, are you grateful for what you do have? I said, what have you got? And he started naming off all this stuff and talking about positive things. And it wasn't long before all that negative junk just kind of fell by the wayside. God has been generous to us. And He's been good to us. And it may be today that you've been robbing yourself of that joy. And you need to come and get a fresh touch from Jesus. And some people, like Brother Andrew mentioned earlier, rob themselves of salvation. Well, I'll get right with God when I get my life cleaned up. You will never get your life cleaned up. You can't do it. But Jesus can. I'll come to Jesus whenever this or this. Let me tell you something. If God's tugging on the heartstrings of your spirit, if He's pulling you, you'd better answer, yes, Lord, today. Because His Spirit does not always strive with our spirit. And when He's speaking, you'd better listen and say yes. So now's time. It's decision time. Well, Brother Cal, if I get up and come down here, somebody will think that I stole something today. Have you ever taken anything that wasn't yours? What do we call that? Stealing. And what do we call somebody who steals? A thief. Guess what? We're all guilty. Everybody in here. So don't worry about what so-and-so's thinking. You do what God's telling you to do today. Whether it's salvation, making restitution with someone, repentance, whatever it is. This altar's open for prayer. Every time we preach the Word and teach the Word, there's a response that ought to be made. Let's pray. Father, today, this time is yours. It's not ours, it's yours. And so bless us with Your Spirit. Help us, God. I was really a 25-year-old man before I learned it. Partial obedience was disobedience. And we need to be obedient, especially in this area of our life. Oh God, would You move? Would You speak to hearts today all across this building? And help us to enjoy our salvation today. When we leave here, that we would have the pep in our step and the glide in our stride, and that all belongs to Jesus. And when we get right with You about our sin, that's what happens. And so cleanse us. Wash us. Make us whole. Thank You for the precious, sweet blood of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye turned, Brenda, would you dim those lights for me? Thank You. We're going to give you an opportunity right now to respond. Andrew's going to lead us in a hymn or a song of response and invitation. And all you've got to do is simply come. If God's speaking to your heart, you get up and come to this altar. Yeah, you can do it right there in your seat, but you won't be accountable to anybody. Oh yeah, you'll be accountable to Him. But it helps when you have the strength of other believers alongside of you to pray. You come. Father, touch this place with Your power right now. In Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.